If you have a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 22 and Revelation chapter 2. Now, I haven't been using these a lot in recent weeks, so today, when I was preaching, I kept having this too far away, and some of the folks over there weren't able to hear me, and they were very glad. I'm so thankful for the Pacific Baptist Church family. Matthew chapter 22, and then we'll go to Revelation chapter 2. I'm so thankful for our church family. As I mentioned this morning, it's good to see so many faces, and I don't even want to begin to name names because surely I'll leave a lot of people off, but I'm thankful for your faithfulness throughout the years. I'm thankful for the input that many of you have had in my life, my wife, our five children, of course, now our grandchildren. I'm so grateful for that. Yeah, this morning, if you weren't here this morning, we preached a message on God's love for us. And by the way, he loves us. And we gave 3 points at the end of the message. Didn't spend a lot of time on the points, but we said because of God's everlasting love for us, it should inspire us to love him in return. Somebody say amen. We also said this morning, because he has an everlasting love for us and he loves us so much, that we ought to be able to love one another. Somebody say amen. Now, can I say something? And you probably know this is true. It seems like it's a little bit easier for me to love God than to love you. Somebody say amen. How many of you have ever noticed that? But you know what? If God could love you and God could love me in spite of who we are and what we've done, we ought to be able to love one another. And then not only should his love cause us to love him, not only should his love cause us to love one another, then we talked about his love inspiring us to love a lost and dying world. We're going to continue on that thought tonight. So tonight's sort of part two. When we all stand, Matthew chapter 22, if I were going to give... Somebody's birthday today. I don't know if we sang that, but we'll catch that later. Matthew chapter 22. If I was going to give the title of my message a title, the title of the message would be this: don't leave your first love and don't let the light go out. Don't leave your first love and don't let the light go out. And we'll get into that in a moment. Matthew chapter 22, very familiar passage. And I believe we referred to it this morning, if I remember correctly. We'll begin reading verse 34. The Bible says, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, by the way, Jesus was a master at putting the religious leaders to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now I want you to notice in verse 40, if you would, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You know, God's desire for you and God's desire for me tonight is simple. Matter of fact, we were going to look at 2 Corinthians 11:3. We won't do it for time's sake. It's very simple. God wants you and God wants me to love him with every fiber of our being. Just every fiber of our being. And then God wants us to love others as we love ourselves. Now, how many of you know we tend to love ourselves? Somebody say amen. There's only one piece of pie left, and you and somebody standing in line, you want it, and you believe you deserve it. Amen. He said, this is the great command. As a matter of fact, he said all the laws, we are told that there are 613 different commandments found in the Old Testament. He said all of the laws basically hang on these two. Can I tell you something? If we love God with all of our heart, and if we love others as ourselves, everything will be just fine. Everything will be just fine. Now go to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. I actually intended on preaching this message, and I was in a missions conference last Friday, and a dear friend of mine, Mike Valdez, preached a great message from Revelation chapter 2. There's no way in the world I'm going to preach it like he did. Preach a great message. But Revelation chapter 2, in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, we have seven letters to seven churches pointing out seven distinct problems that are characteristics found in just about every church and every Christian's life. Let's look at the first. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Notice what he goes on to say. I know thy works. And by the way, he knows our works. And thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried or tested them, which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and is born and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Look up here for a moment. This is a good church. As a matter of fact, of the seven churches, the seven letters to the seven churches, this is the best church here. As a matter of fact, if you go back to Acts chapter 20, you'll find this is the church that the Apostle Paul labored in for over 3 years and had a lot of good things to say about them. As a matter of fact, this church, experts tell us that this church grew to be 10,000, maybe 20,000. It's a great church. I mean, look at. He said, I know your works, your labor, your patience, how thou cannot bear them which are evil, yet you won't tolerate any evil. You've tried them which say they're apostles, but they're not, and you found them liars. You born for had patience or endurance. For my name's sake, you've labored and has not fainted. That's a good church. This would be a church that you and I would set up on a pedestal. You couldn't ask for much more in a church than this church. They're doctrinally sound. They're hard workers. They've got the buses running. They got soul winning going. I mean, it is active. But the letter doesn't stop there. Let's continue. Nevertheless, I have somewhat or something against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Brother Ross, I have no idea how this fits in. It's hard for me to imagine that a church could be a hard-working church, how a church could be doctrinally sound, how a church could be the epitome of what we would call a good, great, glorious church. But the Lord Jesus is in the red, said, I do have one thing against you. You've left your first love. And what does that first love refer to? You go back to Matthew chapter 22. The love that we ought to have for Christ in response to the love that he has for us. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do thy first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I'll remove thy candlestick out of this place. Notice that phrase, remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of Nicolaitans. Now he's bragging on him again. Which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you help us this evening, Lord, just to share a few thoughts. What a tremendous passage. What a tremendous truth. Lord, yet this is something that each and every one of us, we struggle with. I know I struggle with it. You are wonderful. You're amazing. You love us. And may our response to you always be one of love. I pray that you'd help us this evening, Lord, in the few moments we have. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Last Friday night, I was in a missions conference on Friday evening at a church in Anaheim. Actually, our tour group did a real good job singing there. And there was somebody from Hammond, Indiana, one of their teams, the Team Eurasia. And they had a great presentation. And the presentation talked about how in what we would call Eurasia, where the Apostle Paul specifically ministered, and it started off showing all the different candles, all the different places where churches were started. It was great. It showed this place that at one time was filled with darkness, and then there would be a candle there and a candle here representing churches that were planted. And in the presentation, it talked about at one time that area of the world where Ephesus was. How that area of the world at one time was the most evangelized area in all the world. And then through the presentation, we learned that now, that area of the world, I think, if I remember correctly, 99.5% of the people are lost without Christ. You know, Brother Ross, I was sitting there, and I remember, by the way, Brother Bruce, you did a tremendous job translating. That guy could translate. He was translating the sermon for me when Mike Valdez preached. But I remember thinking when I was seeing that, because I had planned on preaching sort of this loving God and God loving us. I remember thinking as I saw the presentation, and it just blew me away. How could a place that at one time was the most evangelized place in the world become the least evangelized place in the world? I think the key is found in Revelation chapter 2. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2 to the church, he said, look, you're doing some wonderful things. You are doctrinally sound. You're not going to let the wrong folks come in and preach and teach a heresy from your pulpit. You're a wonderful church. You're busy. Of course, they didn't have buses in those days. Their bus ministry would be chariots. Amen. You've got the chariots running. You're reaching people for Christ. You've got soul winning. You got people passing out tracts. You're doing all the things that you ought to do. Great church. You work hard. He said, but I do have something against you. You've left your first love. And then he said this. This is key. If you don't repent and get back to that first love, I will blow the candle out. Many years ago when I was pastoring, I've told this story, it's been a while since I've told it. Many years ago when I was pastoring, we used to rent a Lutheran building. And it was in North Long Beach, and there was a good man, his name was Scott. He was the pastor of the church. Unfortunately, his hands were really tied. He had a heart to reach people for Christ, but his hands were really tied. He had all kinds of committees and that type of thing. And one day he told me, he said, he was taking me for a walk around the auditorium. They had this beautiful building right over there by Hamilton Middle School. And he's taking me around, showing me everything that was available. And then he took me to a place along the wall, the side of the wall in the auditorium. And he called it the Perpetual Candle. And what it was a throwback to the Old Testament days. And what it was is a candle that was supposed to be lit 24/7, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And he said to me, he said, now, Pastor Johnny, his name was Scott, Pastor Scott. Pastor Johnny, listen, I need you to do me a favor. You have to let your people know, never blow the candle out. You know, as a Baptist, we're not real big on candles. Somebody say amen. Sometimes we're a little sacrilegious, amen? And we're not real big on it. And so he told me that. And, of course, after the service, because it was not our building, we didn't have the privilege of having our own building and that type of thing. Because it wasn't our building, we'd have to clean up, set up, take everything out, that type of thing. Well, one of the men in our church accidentally, I think, now that I think about it as a Baptist, probably not, amen? Accidentally, he went and he, wow, there's power in that one. I need some breath mints, amen. He blew the candle out. I didn't know about it. The very next day, I got a phone call from Pastor Scott, and he was just like really not a very happy camper. And he said, Pastor Johnny, I just got to tell you this. Somebody blew the candle out. I was young in those days and arrogant. I'm still a little bit arrogant. Pray for me. And my first thought was this. Brother, somebody blew the candle out in this place a long time ago. Somebody say amen. Jesus said, if you don't, now notice what he didn't say. He didn't say if you don't keep soul winning. He didn't say if you don't stay doctrinally sound. Notice what he didn't say. He didn't say if you say stay separated. Here's what he said. If you don't get back to the place where you love me with everything that you are, I will blow the candle out. Now, I don't know about you. America's getting pretty dark. I don't know what your views are. This morning, I forget to mention it. This morning, I was in a Brother Meyer's Sunday school class, and they said that Brother Raul would be running for president. I said, I'll stick with Obama. Somebody say amen. America's in trouble. We are, as a nation, becoming more barbaric with each passing day. You can almost feel the darkness. You almost feel it. But you know what America needs? America needs some candles. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men. So this evening, I want to remind us God loves us with an everlasting love. But he wants us to respond to that love. Micah chapter 6, verse 8, the Bible says, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. Can I get say humbly? That, by the way, walk humbly with thy God. That's the only way we can walk with God. I don't know about you. You pray for me, but I struggle with pride and arrogance. And it seems like the better Christian I become, the more proud I become. You probably don't have that problem. You pray for me. But can I say something? We can never walk with God unless it's humbly. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, the Bible says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. You say, well, Brother Johnny, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say something. You know what God wants tonight? He wants your heart. And he wants my heart. By the way, if God ever has our heart, he'll have everything else. of everything else. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ talking to the church of Ephesus, a good church, a solid church, doctrinally sound, everything that you could possibly ask for in a church? And he brags on him. He praises him. He says, man, you ought to be doing this. You ought to work hard. You ought to stay doctrinally sound. You ought to labor. You ought to be careful about false prophets. But then he says, I do have something that concerns me. You've left your first love. I'm going to take you for a couple minutes. I'm going to talk to you because many of you, I think, will be able to relate with what I'm saying. I'll never forget January 17th, 1977, the day I got saved. I'll never forget when I walked into a telephone booth and out of my mind on drugs and lost on my way to hell. And I walked into a telephone booth, and I had a little Gideon's Bible that my aunt had given me. I had an aunt who had been praying for me, and she used to send me letters and cards, and she wanted to see me get saved. Because I respected her enough, I never threw the stuff away. It would sit there in my footlocker, my wall locker in the Army. And finally, one day on an LSD experience, I going out of my mind, I walk into the telephone booth with that little Gideon Bible with the plan of salvation that I had heard many times and had many people share the gospel with me. I got saved. And I walked out of that telephone booth, and you've heard me tell the story. I walked out, and I took my marijuana earring out and threw it on the ground, and I threw the cigarettes on the ground, went back and got those a little bit later. Amen. Took a while to kick that habit. Amen. And as I've said all over America, I found out that smoking stunts your growth. I found out the hard way. Amen. But I went back and got those cigarettes a little bit later. But I remember as I went back into my barracks dormitory, if you would, I went back into my barracks, and some of my buddies, a guy named Donaldson and Beitler, they were standing there, and they saw me. They saw me walking around just looking for the pink elephants, amen? And they said, they saw me come back into the barracks, and they came to my room, and they said, man, Esposito, are you all right? And I looked at them, and I didn't know, I knew nothing about Christianity. Nothing. I looked at them, and with the simplicity of the gospel, I looked at them, I said, I've just decided to follow Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. I'll never forget, within the hour, I called home, collect, amen? That was long before cell phones. I called home, collect, like every single soldier does. I remember calling home. I remember calling my mother, and I remember calling my father, and I was so excited about being saved. By the way, you ought to be excited about being saved. Somebody say amen. I was so excited about this newfound faith. My sins were forgiven. My name was written down in heaven. Somebody say amen. I didn't know anything compared to what I know. I knew nothing. But I knew one thing. God loved me. And he saved me. I remember calling my mom and my dad, and I was excited, and I thought they'd be excited. Amen. I thought they'd be excited. I mean, man, I had caused them a lot of anguish and a lot of heartache and a lot of headaches. I remember calling them, and the power. I remember calling them and saying, Mom, Dad, I'm a Christian. I just got saved. Well, I didn't say saved. I didn't know that terminology. I'm a Christian. I'm following Jesus. My mom, I don't even remember what she said. Oh, well. So who's playing the ball game tonight? Amen. I remember what my dad said. Oh, yeah. It used to be this, it used to be this, now it's Jesus. 6 months from now, it'll be Buddha. Somebody say amen. I just want to say something. It's 35 years, and it's still Jesus. Amen. And I was excited about the Lord. I knew nothing. I remember, you've heard me tell the story. I can remember times I'd be sitting there with other guys in the barracks. In Genesis, we find that God created the herbs, and they were all good. Somebody say amen. So I was just partaking of that which was good. I would have a Bible in one hand and an herb in the other. And it wasn't oregano. Amen. On fire for God. And I can remember I would be talking to guys about the Lord Jesus Christ. I loved him dearly. I'm going to tell you something. I loved him more that day than I often love him today. You've heard me tell the story when I had only been saved for a few months and, of course, no church background and that type of thing. I'm sitting in a club, and it wasn't the boys' club, amen? I'm sitting in a club, and I'm sitting down drinking some liquor, and I'm sitting next to a guy, and I'm witnessing to him in the nightclub. Somebody say amen. Brother, if you're going to go, you might as well witness to him. Somebody say amen. And I'm just sharing Jesus. I love God. I love Jesus with all my heart. As I'm sharing Jesus with him, he looked at me. He said, hey, man, do you know where you are? You know, I thought I was at a Billy Sunday tent meeting or something. Amen. Hey, man, do you know where you are? I said, yeah. He said, do you know what you're doing? I said, yeah. He said, they don't go together. Somebody say amen. I could tell stories all night long, but we got a championship game. Somebody say amen. I can remember, you've heard me tell the story, those of you been here for a while, I can remember, you know, I took the Bible at face value. I remember I read about moving mountains. Somebody say amen. If you just had this, the faith, the size of a seed, a mustard seed, a grain of mustard seed, you could remove mountains. I was stationed in Fort Lewis, Washington. I was a Ranger Battalion, and we had this big mountain not too far from us. Well, it was quite a ways away, but you could see it because it's a big one, Mount Rainier. I went out in the parking lot, 21 years old, hadn't been saved very long. I had the faith of a new Christian. Somebody say amen. I stood out in the parking lot. I don't even think I looked to my left or right. I don't think I was worried about if anybody saw me. I stood at that mountain. I said, in the name of Jesus, be thou removed. I didn't have enough faith. I mean, I love Jesus, though. I had a first love. Oh, I tripped all over myself. I'll never forget. And I think Pastor Joe was on this, so I'll fess up some of his sins. Amen? I think one time at Mrs. Ramirez's house, we were brand new Christians. I hadn't been saved for very long. We decided to have the Lord's Supper. Somebody say amen. We were going to have it on our own. Man, we didn't read order in the church. Somebody say amen. And we went to Mrs. Ramirez. Now, those of you who don't know Mrs. Ramirez, that's my sister. She's in heaven today. And anybody that knows her, she was wild. Amen. And I'm pretty sure we were having a Bible study there. And we decided we're going to have the Lord's Supper. You say, what did you do? We got Mad Dog 2020 and some crackers. Amen. But I loved him. And I can remember those early days in my walk with the Lord. And I loved him. I'd read something in the Bible. I remember, you know, nobody ever had to tell me to give. I remember, I was still in the Army, of course. I'd only been saved about 2 months. Now, I didn't know anything about tithing yet. But can I tell you something? I'd been saved about 2 months. I was going well beyond tithing. Now, I wasn't giving it at a local church, and I didn't know that kind of stuff. But can I tell you something? I can remember I found out that there was a Christian bookstore right outside our base. And I went to this Christian bookstore, and I was spending all kinds of money. I was buying tracts, and I was buying chick comics. Somebody say amen. Now, I would always read them first and then put them on the table. Amen? And what I did is I got permission from the chaplain in the Army. We used to have what was called a day room, and we where the guys would go play pool, and they'd have TV there. The guys would just hang out. And I got permission from the chaplain to just set up. I called it my Jesus table. By the way, I didn't even go to church yet. As a matter of fact, I may have been going to the Catholic church because I was going to Catholic chapel for a couple weeks or a couple months till he said I was demon-possessed. Amen? I was buying Bibles and tracts. I can remember walking around the compound, I don't know what you call it, where our unit was stationed in the fort, Fort Lewis. I'd see guys walking with chick tracts. I would see soldiers walking with a chick comic books or Bibles. I could remember, and I think it was 13 or 14 of the 40 guys in my unit trusted Jesus Christ. Man, those were good days. Those are good days. Just a simple love for a God who loved me. I can remember when I first got out of the military, Pastor, myself, and two guys that I led to the Lord indirectly in the Army, and they ETS'd out of the Army, and they followed me down to Southern California. And the four of us, we had an apartment in North Long Beach on Cherry and 64th or something. And we used to go to Gethsemane Baptist. At that time, we were going to Gethsemane Baptist. And by the way, we were different. Pastor was going to Gethsemane Baptist. His hair was down the middle of his back. Somebody say amen. Oh, for those days. Can I get amen on that one? If I could just get a little bit of it. By the way, let me just say this. And Gethsemane loved us. We did not look like fundamental Baptists. We used to get an area right here. It was the Motley Crue. Somebody say amen. And you've heard Pastor tell the stories. Pastor had a little Volkswagen. They had like 15 people packed in that Volkswagen. Girls sitting on guys' laps and all kinds of stuff. Stuff that we would never allow. Can I tell you something? We loved Jesus and we were reaching people. Somebody say amen. But I can remember in our apartment, somebody, I think, donated one of those chick track racks, and they gave us all these chick tracks. And we opened up our apartment, and we would have people come over, and they'd get the tracks and that type of thing. Man, I could tell all kinds of stories. You say, well, what is the point here? Here's the point. Some of us have lost it. There was a time where you loved God with all of your heart. And you loved people. And you know, before long, life gets complicated. Now, by the way, that doesn't mean we don't love God. But we've left our first love. Jesus said to the church at Ephesus, he said, look, I want you to be doctrinally sound. I want you to work hard. I want you to be careful. I commend you. You're careful who you allow come and preach from behind the pulpit. But he said, have you left your first love? Isn't it exciting to see a new convert? Somebody say amen. You know, we can learn a lot from new converts. After a while, before you know, we get real stuffed shirt. We dress just right. By the way, let me tell you about dressing just right. Dressing just right starts off with robes of righteousness. I was told, I don't know if this is accurate, this is while I was still on staff, that we had a visitor one time come into the service and probably not saved. And they weren't dressed just right. And somebody told them, hey, what are you doing? You're not supposed to dress like this. Don't you know this is church? Can I just tell you something? Jesus would never do that. By the way, I'm glad they didn't do that to me when I went to Gethsemane Baptist. Somebody say amen. I'm glad that when Pastor Joe and myself went to Gethsemane Baptist, they in the old days at in Paramount, I'm glad they treated us like we were just one of the group. But listen, we didn't look like them. Now, I did because I just got out of the military, so I had a military haircut. Pastor Joe didn't. Jesus said, look, don't lose your first love. Leave your first love. You don't lose it. Somebody wrote these words. The goal of the gospel is to produce a type of people consumed with passion for God and love for others. We certainly don't seem to have that right, the author wrote. A Christianity that does not have as its primary focus. Can I get you to say primary? Can I get you to say primary focus? The deepening of passions for God, this is rough, is a false Christianity. No matter how zealously it seeks conversions, how forcefully it advocates righteous behavior. Love for God is commanded, the author wrote in Scripture. Commanded. Man, God loves us. I'm talking to a lot of folks tonight. You're like me. There was a time where Jesus was everything. You got saved and you realized how much he loved you. And you know what? You just jumped in. Listen, folks. When the church has to try to coax us to do what we're supposed to do, that only reveals something's wrong. I ought to do what I ought to do because I love him. And I can only love him if I recognize that he first loved me. So many years ago, on January 17th, 1977, when I got saved, it wasn't a plan of salvation. By the way, the plan of salvation is not what it's about. It's the person of salvation. What it's about. See, we're good at plans and programs and methods, but it's about Jesus. But on January 17th, 1977, for the first time in my life, it wasn't the first time I heard it, but the first time in my life, I came to a realization that the God of heaven loved me. A dirty, rotten sinner. Deserved to go to hell. And there was only one way I possibly could respond to that. With his help, love him back. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. I'm not going to ask you if you go to church. You're here tonight. And I commend you for that. But I'll be honest with you. There's many times I went to church, and it wasn't because of Jesus. See, for me, going to church is a habit. Now, for those of you who don't know, my son-in-law, his church, they rent another building, so they don't have a Sunday morning service. They have Sunday afternoon and Sunday evening service combined together. So not too long ago, we were there on Sunday morning. We were going to be there for the service. And I got up. I didn't know what to do with myself. Somebody say amen. I mean, for like over 30-something years now, I've been going to church Sunday morning about 10 o'clock, 11 a.m., and I've been doing it. It's a habit. It's a what? Nothing to do necessarily with my love for him. But if you love him, you will go to church. Some of us tonight, we need to go back to when you first got saved. And you need to remember that first love. I mentioned this morning, a few months ago, we were downsizing. We were moving from the condo to a small apartment, and we've really downsized starting tomorrow. Our car's our apartment. Amen. And we were moving stuff, and we were going through storage, and we were checking out things, and we found a big box of letters. My wife, there's a TV show. It's a cable show. It's called, what is it called? Hoarders? What is it called? Hoarders? Where you can't walk through the house? Okay, that's my wife. Anyway, we're going to try to get some money off it. Amen? We were going through this stuff. My wife had a newspaper article from, I think, 1967. That was long before I was born. But we were going through all this stuff, and man, I was like, you got to be kidding me. What is all this stuff? But all of a sudden, we found the box. The box was filled with letters that I had written or cards that I had sent to my wife, and letters and cards that she had sent to me. Now, we've been married 30 years. Like I said, I don't do like Cornelius. I don't write my wife a love letter every day, amen? By the way, she doesn't write me one every day either. Could you move this for a second? I was looking at some of them, and I mean, just going back. Just going back to those days when we first started dating, and where the like was growing into love. That's good stuff. And I told my wife, I said, you know what we need to do? I think our anniversary was coming. I think it was for our anniversary. Our anniversary was coming up. I said, what we need to do is we need to just take the box and just sit there and read them all. Can I tell you something? We sat there, and I was reading letters and cards that my wife had sent me 32 years ago. My heart was stirred. My love and appreciation for her was greater than it had been in a long time. You know, I've sort of taken her for granted. You know what some of us need to do? We need to get the love letter out. And we need to get back in this book. And we need to return to our first love. Now, can I tell you something? You ought to love your church. But you ought to love Jesus more than your church. There's a lot of things that you ought to love. It's appropriate. But all of them fall under Jesus. Somebody say amen. I sometimes wonder, and I know I'm just a little bit strange. I sometimes wonder, I was just preaching at a camp recently, and I was thinking about this as I was walking, praying. Sometimes wonder, why is it that our church buses and our churches and our tracks, why don't you see the name Jesus very much? Why is it that you could walk through the hallway of a church and you don't hear the name Jesus much? I'm wondering I don't know. I'm wondering if we've left our first love. How about you tonight? Has there ever been a time in your Christian life that you were closer to God than you are today? Then today, tonight is the opportunity to return to your first love. Let's stand.